In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. It is Sanctity of Life Sunday in the Orthodox Church. We'll be having the Sanctity of Life prayer at the end of liturgy. We also will be blessing water once again, this being the eve of Old Calendar Theophany, for the needs of our supply needs of our church. That the first two blessings were pretty much given forth to the faithful, which is gratifying, but we still need, so we need more holy water. So I ask our visitors and all of us to bear with us as we have a lengthy agenda today. But today we want to actually speak of a new saint of the church, or rather let this saint speak to us, the Holy Orthodox Church. Rejoice this week in the canonization of the holy elder, St. Paisios of Mount Athos, who lived into the 1990s, a saint of our time, of our own people, of our own life and generation. Why do we celebrate the saints? St. Maximus the Confessor, speaking of the saints, said, "There is a single energy of God and the saints." Is a single energy of God and the saints. They are living icons of Christ, being the same as he is, by grace rather than by assimilation. In other words, the saints retain their human personality. They are not assimilated into God, but they become vessels of God, of God's holiness. They become like God by grace. Saint Cyril of Alexandria, whom we remember in the church today, one of the great fathers of the church, said, "Union with God cannot exist otherwise than by participation in the Holy Spirit, diffusing in us the sanctification proper to himself, imprinting and engraving in our souls the divine likeness. Accordingly, we are all one in the Father and in the Son and in the Holy Spirit. One, I say, in a unity of relationship of love and harmony with God and one another. One by conformity in godliness, by communion in the sacred body of Christ, and by fellowship in the one Holy Spirit. And this is a real physical union," says St. Cyril. The holy elder Paisios was and is a great comforter, a consoler of human souls in our time, an encouragement to all who came to him in the right spirit, in a condition of need. It is written about him by his biographer, Father Isaac. "He gave love to everyone, but his heart never ran dry, because he was connected with Christ, the inexhaustible fount of eternal love." Let us hear now from St. Paisios himself. He said, "I don't worry about where I'll go when I die. I don't worry about where I'll go when I die. I don't care about myself. I'm not trying to do good to get into heaven. I would prefer for people who live far away from God to go there instead, so they can taste a little bit of paradise. We've already tasted paradise here, but they're living in hell." The elder would ask God if he could trade places with a tormented soul in hell. Is this perhaps the same wish made by the Apostle Paul when he wrote, "For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for the sake of my brethren"? About relationship with others, the elder said, "We always have to start from what comforts the other person, not what's convenient for us. And then everyone will be comforted and there'll be love." The elder's whole life was giving, serving, and sacrifice. In many ways and at every opportunity, he said, "As long as man does good, he forgets himself. He's entirely good and he loses selfishness. When he makes the problem of others his own, he doesn't have his own problems." When the elder prayed for the sick, he would say, "My God, help the sick and take away my health." He would accept with joy whatever sickness God allotted him. When the elder was receiving medical treatment in a hospital, a little girl named Chrysanthi, who helped, had developed intestinal cancer and was in the hospital, the elder felt compassion for her. He made the sign of the cross over her and prayed. And he said, "Christ," he begged, "give me the cancer. I'll take it." And the good Lord did not overlook his request, and in the end, in accordance with his desire, the elder received cancer at the end of his life. Empathizing with the pain of others, the elder forgot himself and his own ailments and offered prayer from the heart. Christ, he said, forget about me. Don't think about me. Look at people who are suffering. The streams of tears and his pleading prayers were accompanied by fasts and countless labors. Once when he learned that a young man was in bodily and spiritual danger, he ate nothing for days. He didn't stop praying until he learned that the danger had passed. He would make complete 40-day fasts in order to help a single soul. The elder with true love never took his own needs into consideration. And because of this, he attained to the measure of perfection. He hated selfishness, and in its place, he put love for God and for human beings. Elder Paisius was unique, recalled an Athenite monk, in that he never thought of himself at all. One time I told him, Father, think of yourself a little. And he replied, when people are coming here with problems, what should I do? Look after myself? After Elder Paisius' death, a paper was found in his cell with his own writing, and it serves as a kind of a last testament, a final word written in his holy hand, one last encouragement to our generation. And I'd like to read that. In it he writes, first we believe in God, and later we love God in his image, mankind. Faith increases with prayer. Increase our faith, O Lord. I've come to see that all evil comes from disbelief. When man doesn't believe in God, he wants to revel away his life, so he gives himself over to every kind of sin. Man must grasp the deeper meaning of life, that this life is for us to get ready for the next one. At this point, just like a traveler needs a guide to reach his destination, one must find a guide, a spiritual father, for the heavenly journey. Then the guide will give him a program, a little reading, a little prayer, so the person will avoid occasions to sin and the worldly mindset, which is the worst thing of all. And in this way, his heart will be in Christ. We must struggle with eager goodness to save ourselves so we won't sadden Christ, so we won't make Christ sad. Christ will say to us, my child, I did so many things to save you. I poured out my blood and endured so much suffering. And you, what did you do for your salvation? Each person must find and sanctify their calling. Everyone who's diligent will be successful, wherever they may be, whether they're married or monks. We should prefer afflictions and see them as better than pleasures. A lot of times, bitter medicines are better than sweet ones because they heal. They heal. Suffering gives birth to true joy. What hinders spiritual progress is that people focus on other things instead of what benefits them spiritually. For us to pray in our hearts, pain for the state of the world today has to enter into us. Pain for the state of the world. Today the time has come for the sheep to be separated from the goats, the faithful from the faithless. Later we'll be tested and persecuted for our faith, and then you'll be able to tell the copper from the gold. When someone grieves from suffering for others, feeling their pain, making their problems his own, then he has a martyr's reward. How full of grace are people who sacrifice everything. They don't have any problems, and their faith shines because they have divine joy all the time. The entire foundation of the spiritual life is for people to think of others and put themselves last, and not to think of themselves. When we put ourselves in another person's shoes and understand them, then we are Christ's kin. We are Christ's kinfolk. Finally, he writes, the grace of God is a valuable thing. It won't come and dwell within someone unless it finds that person in agreement with God according to the Spirit. And he exhausts every human effort. What we want, though, is for divine grace to come and free us from our weaknesses without a struggle. In order for the Holy Spirit to dwell in man, it takes a lot of self-denial, a lot of eager goodness, humility, nobility, and sacrifice. The aim of the spiritual life is not pleasure. Christ has put the outlet in, but our cords have gotten rusty, so they can't receive divine grace. The wires that connect us to the divine outlet are rusty. To clean the cords, he says, we have to struggle to know ourselves, to cut off our passions, and to acquire the virtues, and then God's grace will visit us. This is the final testament and word of our Holy Father, newly canonized, St. Paisius of Mount Athos. Through his holy prayers, may our Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.